G'dach Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. I want to focus tonight, which is Motzei Shabbos and Erev Shavuos, on Pasuk towards the end of the Sedra. The Torah tells us, Al tachrisu es Shevet Levi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to ensure that Shevet Levi did not conduct themselves in a way that would bring about their ultimate demise. And if you read the Pesukim carefully, it's a little odd. Excuse me. It is a little odd in that the Pasuk continues, V'zos asulahem, this is what you should do, V'lo yamusu, in order that they shouldn't die, etc., etc. V'samu osam ishal avodaso, V'lo yavo vamesu. So the Pasuk says a couple of times to do the following in order that they should not die. But the question that is difficult with the pasuk is that it opens up by saying "Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachos hakahasi," that the shevet of the family of Kahash should not be entirely destroyed, decimated, excised, and removed from Klal Yisrael. So, why does the pasuk then continue to talk about this is what they should do, that they shouldn't die? It sounds like there was something already going on that they want to stop from bringing this group of Shevet Levi to ultimate and complete destruction. So it's a little unclear here what exactly is going on in the Pesukim. On a simple pshat level, the opening pasuk is saying that Hashem says, "I'm concerned about the nature of this avodah, such that if they do it inappropriately, they could come to their eyes, and therefore, zosasu, so that they shall not die, etc. They should do X, so that they shall not die." But again, although on a pshat level that might be compelling, the challenge with it is that the opening pasuk is al tachrisu. They should not come to be entirely destroyed and decimated. And then the pesukim go on to say they should do X and Y, Z, so they shouldn't die. What is this language of here of al tachrisu? It indicates something going on. So the Medrash, actually, we have two competing Midrashim how to understand what is being hinted to in the Pasuk over here. The first of the competing Midrashim says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Amar, Lo hayu b'nei kahas menichin es ha'aron, ela afal pi shemisma'atin, hayu nosnin es nafshon al ha'aron, b'pnei shehayu yodin shekol mishatoin ba'aron scharo meruba. In other words, what was going on was that there was a whole jockeying for position and competition amongst B'nai Kahas, who were responsible for carrying and transporting the kelim of the Mishkan, including the Mizbeach and the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah. And they were so focused on the schar of dealing with the Aron HaKodesh that they left the other kelim as it were to fend for themselves. And this is a great bizayon, a terrible thing to have occurred. As a consequence, it seems that there was some type of divine response. And Hashem says, "Al tachrisu eshevet mishpachos hakasi." I don't want them all to die. So tell them to do X, Y, Z. We have to make a takana here. We have to put in appropriate roles and responsibilities, have an organizational chart. Everybody knows what they have to do. And this way there will be no competition. Everybody will do what they have to do, and nobody will die as a consequence. However, what is the underlying message of this medrash is that they were all fighting for the Aron and they left the other kelim. How is it possible that people of such high renown could have just left the other kelim and treated them with such a demeaning denigration? Everybody's focused on the Aron, the menorah, the mizbeach, the shulchan. They have no value. But this seems to highlight an essential human quality, an essential human trait. And that is that sometimes we're so focused on a goal that we'll do anything and everything to accomplish that goal, regardless of what the cost is to it. Even if it is, and even and especially if it is a noble goal. You can imagine somebody on a pedestrian level who is so focused on their career, on their business, on their profession, on making a parnassa, that everything else gets thrown by the wayside. Now, making a parnassa is a noble goal, to support oneself, to support one's family, to support one's community. That's a noble, noble goal. But to do so at the expense of other noble goals, well, that's problematic. That's a problem. Because when it comes to both human living as well as to Avodas Hashem, what is required is balance. What is required is it's not a zero-sum game between one value versus another. But there has to be a balance here. We have our basic responsibilities, but over and above and beyond that, we cannot just focus laser-like on one goal, even if it is an Avodas Hashem goal, to the exclusion of all else. And there should be no and at all costs. This is what the Ramchal refers to as Mishkal HaChassidus, that one has to balance, live in balance with their various, not obligations, but above their obligations. Well, it's a basic minimum level of what one has to do in order to fulfill their obligations. But what we're talking about here is over and above and beyond that. And here a person has to live in balance. And it's true in all areas of Avodas Hashem. It's true that we have to live in balance between Hishtadlus and Emunah, personal initiative versus reliance on Hashem. We have to live in balance between focusing on chesed, on others, and focusing on self-improvement on the self. We have to live in balance between our maisim, our actions, our mitzvos, and our Talmud and our study. Everything is a question of creating a certain balance, a certain shikul. And in fact, this is a particularly prescient message in advance of Shavuos, because on Shavuos we celebrate Nasa v'Nishma. Nasa means let's do, and Nishma, while it's translated alternatively as to obey or to understand or to learn, but just in basic Hebrew, the Nishma means to hear. And it strikes me that if one thinks about it, the ear is the part, the inner ear is the part of the human physiology in which the control of, which balance is controlled in the body. If a person's inner ear is infected and they lose that sense of balance, they won't be able to walk. They will get dizzy and they'll fall. This is inside the ear. The ear in Hebrew is called an ozen. Ozen also is the word for balance. Me'uzan, a weights and scales, a balance, if you will, is referred to as moznayim, which comes from the word ozen. So the ear holds within it the capacity for balance. And when we say na'ase v'nishma, what we are indeed saying is not simply that I should recommit myself to observance of Torah and even to the study of Torah, but nishma, to the sense of balance, a balance of all the multiple and myriad things that are required for an individual to be shalem, whole and complete in their Avodas Hashem. But this is all one medrash. There is a competing medrash. And the competing medrash says, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the fact of the matter is, it's not that the Levium left the other Kalim bereft and they focused simply on the Aron. Actually, it was just the opposite. Because of the fact, says the Medrash, that there was this miraculous fire that was coming out of the bottom of the Aron, they were afraid to handle and deal with the Aron. So they were fine with attending to the Mizbeach and to the Shulchan and to the Menorah, but to the Aron HaKodesh itself, they were quite reticent to handle it. And as such, this was a bizayon, a denigration to the Aron itself. And as such, Hashem had to tell Moshe that we need a takana, al tachrisu. This is a terrible bizayon. The Levium will be entirely decimated if they go down this road. And therefore, a takana is necessary for roles and responsibilities. But the underlying message of this competing medrash, the first medrash, was telling us that they all wanted to run to the Aron, and they left everything else aside. This medrash is telling us that they left the Aron aside and ran to the other kelim. Why? Because there was fear. And this is another essential human quality. There was fear and caution. And as a consequence, the fear, the caution, the anxiety, the concern led to paralysis. Sometimes we are so concerned and we're so cautious that we end up doing nothing. We're simply paralyzed in our own in our own fear. To be a true Eved Hashem is one who will follow the Aron HaKodesh and will follow the path towards Kedusha, but not at the expense of everything else. They're mitzvos, and they all have to be addressed. It can't just be focused on one thing and everything else gets thrown to the wayside. Sacrifice it all. Like a person who gives tzedakah and their family can't eat. But on the other hand, we cannot look at situations and be frozen in paralysis due to an abundance of caution. We have to have emunah. We have to have bitachon. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, this is your mission, so you go for it. Even if there is some risk, because in life everything is a risk. Everything is a risk. To be a true Eved Hashem, ultimately, therefore, is not to pursue a one goal at the expense of everything else, throwing caution to the wind. But on the other hand, being so overly cautious that we are paralyzed into inaction. At the end of the day, what is necessary to be a true Eved Hashem is a balance between these two. And it seems to me on this Erev Shavuos, where we celebrate our rededication of Matan Torah and Kabbalah Satorah, we must rededicate ourselves not only to the Naaseh, to the observance of mitzvos, and to the doing of mitzvos, and to the prioritization of mitzvos, but to the Nishma. Yes, the learning, but to living a healthy, Jewish, religious, purposeful, profound, divine existence in balance with Nishma. Good Vach and a good Erev Yontif to all.